Last night it was mentioned that we all must have the renewing of the mind. And that includes the renewing of the mind basically includes about 99% of everything that we now know as truth. Now, that's probably an exception for us in this group here, but generally speaking, for most of Christians now, in the renewing process of their mind, about 99% of everything they know and have been taught has to be dropped. For instance, there's one word in the Bible that religion uses a lot to put people under guilt and fear and condemnation is the word repent. Because of the normal Christian, when they hear the word repent, right away they think of God who is angry. And repent means that I must quit, you know, running around with women, and I have to quit smoking, and I have to quit doing all the bad things. And to religion, that's what the word repent means. Yet, in its truest form, the word repent is a very simple term which just means change your mind. And so if you would go through the New Testament, and every place you see the word repent, change that word repent to change your mind. For instance, there's a phrase that says, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. If you change that to say, change your mind about the kingdom of God, because it's not outside of you, it's inside of you. Jesus said to the Pharisees, you know, we make such a big deal about before the cross and after the cross, and there is a lot of truth there, but before the cross, Jesus told the Pharisees that the kingdom of heaven was within them. He never once made a reference to the kingdom being anywhere else but inside of man. And so, even before the cross, there have been men all down through the ages who have had an understanding that God was not outside of them, but that he was an integral part. In fact, he was their being. And so, when you understand that this word repent simply means to change your mind, and we need to change our mind about everything. I made a statement last night that it's impossible for the human carnal mind to understand, and that is, you can be, you can do, or you can have anything that you can believe. And that's because of who you are. You know, Des has told us a lot. Des has ministered a lot from Genesis. And one of the very first things we learn in Genesis is that God created man in his own image. And I brought out the fact in many places where I've been that the word create there in Genesis chapter 1 does not mean to make something out of nothing. And you can even find this in your Strong's. One of the definitions of create is to cut down. So literally what God did was to create man in his image and in an essence cut himself down or lowered himself into this physical realm. And that's what Genesis means when it says God breathed into man and man became a living soul. It's simply an allegory, a way for us to understand that we have come from the very realms of glory created in Genesis chapter 1. And God did not create a son. We all have believed throughout the years that Jesus was the Son of God. In fact, some ministers today really emphasize that fact, that he is the Son, he was the Christ, as if there, you know, there is no other. But the truth is, in the beginning, when God created man, man, in its meaning, in the original language, man does not mean an individual. Man means both male and female. Man, in God's eyes, is a corporate entity. So, when God created man in his image, simply means that in the beginning, there was the creation of a corporate man. And this man includes all men, includes all nationalities, includes, you know, I asked the question here a while back to someone, do you really believe that all of mankind come out of Adam and Eve? And they said, well, of course, because that's what Genesis teaches, that Adam and Eve was the very first creation, and all of mankind has come out of Adam. In fact, that's what the scriptures teach. And I said, regardless of what you believe the scriptures teach, it is absolutely impossible for the human race to all have come out of Adam and Eve. Because no matter what race they were, if they were, let's say they were Caucasian, we don't really know, but let's say they were a Caucasian race. Some teachers teach that they were a black race. But anyway, supposing that the first person that was created would be a Caucasian race, then it would be impossible for all of humanity to come out of the Caucasian race. And if a Caucasian could produce an Indian, a black man, a Chinaman, and all the different nationalities of this world, it would violate the principle, God's principle, of every seed producing after its own kind. Now, this is what I mean when I say we need to repent. We need to change our minds, and really, I say we must, but and when I say that, I know we can't. But I do know there is such a revelation and understanding common to man today to give him the keys to unlock the inner being, to give him the keys to break the seals that are over his mind, his throat, his heart. There's an understanding common to break all of those seals in revelation. And religion has put all of those seals outside of us, saying that, you know, it's the warfare, it's earthquakes, it's all of these things. But all of the earthquakes, all of the warfare, all of the turmoil that you see in Revelation is what's happening to us right now. It's about the greatest warfare that any of us will ever go through. And the Battle of Armageddon will not happen over there in Israel. The Battle of Armageddon is happening right between your ears. It's the warfare of your mind that's tearing down every concept, every idea, all of our perceptions of what we've been taught. It's ripping the foundations of our very faith and what we believe out from underneath of us, breaking all of those, the seals of our mind, to unveil us to the very truth and the essence of who we are on this earth. That's what it means to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. We are about to embark on the most wonderful experience of any generation that has ever lived. Now, when I say that, I don't say that we're the first, because there have always been men and women down through the generations of time that have stepped into eternity. There's always been a people. Well, not necessarily a people, but there has always been individuals. We have the story of people like Enoch and Elijah. People who had become so one with God that the very words that they spoke created for them what they spoke. And we have all of those stories and illustrations in the Bible. And we read those and we take them as stories and we take them as, you know, wonderful truths. Yet, when we read those, there's something inside of us that says, if that could only be my experience. And the only reason it isn't our experience is because of the prison, the tomb of our mind. And we are beginning to roll the stone away. Even in a small degree, when the imprisonment of your mind, when the light and the glory and the essence and the magnificence of the Spirit of God begins to break the seal of the mortal, natural mind, is when we begin to live a life that is so far surpassed anything that we could even imagine. As a young Christian, I used to lay in my bed at night because I was so wrapped up in the lusts of the flesh and the cares of this world. I was probably the most carnal Christian that I knew. Well, at least I thought I was. Everybody else kind of kept You know, we can't see what's in the heart of people. But I thought I was probably the worst Christian that ever lived. And I used to lay in my bed at night, and I used to dream about what heaven would be like. About someday, you know, when at that time I still believed in the rapture, and I thought, boy, if it could only happen, you know, that I could transcend these realms and walk the streets of glory. What a day that would be. I've used to dream that and imagine what that would be like, never knowing until years later that everything that I desired, one day I would become. I used to long. God, how I used to long. When I'd read about Jesus, I'd read about those disciples, and I used to seek God, and I'd go out. I lived in Lancaster, California for 30 years, which is in the middle of the desert. So you'd only have to go about 3 miles out of town, and you'd be in the middle of a desert where there was nothing. And I used to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I'd go out in that desert in my car, and I'd turn the engine off, and I'd just sit there, and I'd just long. I'd say, God, where are the people? Where are the men? Where are the church? Where is the church that you desire? And I long so much to experience what I would read in the scriptures, never realizing that everything that I desire, all the longings and all the searching and everything that I went through, all the agonizing circumstances, would bring me to the understanding that I am everything that I've ever sought after. It's the most amazing, it's the most wonderful experience. When you realize that you are everything that you've ever desired. I had that experience in 1982. Yet I have not yet become. You know, I've had those moments in my experience. And I can't say I haven't become what I've desired, because I have. But you know, you will never reach the end of our progression in the Spirit. There is no end to it. There'll never come a day when you can say, I'm finished. That day will never come. Because God is expanding eternally, even in consciousness and awareness. Now, I don't know if you can understand that. But you see, God in you, this very moment, today, is expanding his experience in this physical realm. And that is the main purpose for creation. That God himself, why do you think we are here? We are here because God longs to be in a place where he can expand even his own being. God is about expansion. God is consciousness expanding in all facets of life. Understand that God is expanding in all dimensions. There are multiple dimensions of God experiencing himself in different aspects of living. God is all there is in this universe. There is nothing but God. I got in a lot of trouble one day in Canada as I was ministering and sharing with people about, well, God is all there is. And I used this example. A lady came in our house one day. We had the most beautiful cat. It was one of those beautiful white, long-haired, white, blue-eyed cats. Just gorgeous, absolutely beautiful to look at. And a friend of ours, lady from California, she came in our house and she picked up our cat and she said, oh, this cat is so beautiful, she said. And then she said this. She looked at my cat and she said, God fills everything, everywhere with himself. And I had never even considered the fact, and maybe you haven't either, that God could be in my cat. But when she said that, my consciousness expanded. And I began to understand what I had been sharing for years, that God is all there is. But I limited it to animals, and I limited it, you know what I mean? But God is all there is. And when you really understand that, You understand that anywhere there is life, there is God. Because there is no life outside of God. And everything is an expression of His life. And we have created such a beautiful universe. We've created such a beautiful world. And then when we come here, we're told that we're alienated and separated from God. We're told that this world is an evil and a sinful place. When in reality, when you have eyes to behold and the beauty of His essence unfolds within you, you realize that this is a perfect universe. This is a perfect world. Not the people in it. They are, but they don't know it. But this is a perfect world that you helped create for the purpose of expansion. We are on the leading edge of creativity in this world. You know, I'm sharing some stuff with you guys here today that I haven't shared anywhere else. But I believe with all my heart there's a people on the earth prepared to hear the truth of their being. And believe me, you are nothing less than what God is. And when you begin to understand that you are here not to sacrifice yourself in the religious sense, you are not here to suffer for God. You do not have a cancer, or you are not physically sick because you've sinned and you need to learn something. God has not put disabilities and cancers and sickness and disease, and God has not done all of this stuff that religion says He has done because you need to learn something. See, we need to repent. God, how we need to change our mind and realize that in God, in the essence of God, in the reality of His being, God does not even know what sickness, disease, and death is. We only know about that in this realm. Of course God sees it. God understands the mess that we're in. But God is not about death. God is about life. Jesus tried to bring this message 2,000 years ago. Shouldn't say He tried, He did, but not too many had ears to hear it. But He said in John chapter 10, He said, "It's the thief that comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy." And religion has told us for years that it's God who kills, who steals, and destroys. You'll hear testimonies of people who say, "Well, God had to take my child, or God had to give me a cancer, or God had to do some terrible things to me to get me to realize that I needed to serve Him." See, we need to repent. And when I say repent, it's simply, just change your mind. We have to realize that God is nothing but life. I am come that you may have life. And that's why I shared on my tape last month when I was still in that cast on my foot. And I said, God, that's not life. Sickness is not life. There's nothing in sickness that's going to benefit you in any way at all. It's not about suffering. It's not about sacrifice. It's about life. It's about discovering that in you there is nothing but life waiting to burst forth from the very entombment of the grave clothes of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And again, the only way this happens, we must drop our religious thinking and our religious activity. I'll never forget the day, years ago, when I began to have unveiled to me some of these truths. I knew so much because from 11 years old onward, I studied Scripture. And then when I got into churches and got into Pentecost, I had notebooks full of things that intellectually I'd studied and I'll never forget when I was studying about the rapture. I knew there was three different doctrines on the rapture. One said we're all going to go up in the pre-trib. The other one said we're all going to go up in the middle of the tribulation. And then the other doctrine said it's going to be post-trib. And those three doctrines are still active in the church today. And it's all fables. But I didn't know that. So I wanted to study the truth. I wanted to know, is it pre-trib? Is it mid-trib or is it post-trib? So I got out, I read the books on pre-trib, and as I was reading those books on pre-trib, I believed in the pre-trib rapture. I told everybody, it's pre-trib, I know it is. I read it in the book, the scriptures are there. And then I read on mid-trib. And the scriptures are there, the writings are there, the books are there, the teachings are there, and then I got confused. As I said, I thought I believed in pre-trib. Now I'm not sure. And then I read about and studied post-trib. And what the conclusion I came to all that is they're all true. And I'll tell you the truth. They are all true. I'll tell you something else. The rapture is true. It's just not told truth in the sense that we've been taught it. And when I understood that pre-trib, and as far as trib goes, you can take that word out, because Jesus said this, you'll always have tribulation. Quit looking for a greater tribulation. You don't need that. And you don't need to experience that either once you experience the truth. But there is a pre-trib rapture. And we're beginning to experience it right now. Because whenever you are caught up in the Spirit, and Paul talked about that, of being caught up. And he told about how we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. That's not a future event. The scriptures clearly reveal that when Jesus rose from the dead, he brought not the people who confess him as Lord. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say he raised people. It says when Jesus raised from the dead, he raised all of creation up and seated us with him in heavenly places. And people say, well, that was just the elect. In fact, we were talking here the other day and about the elect. And so some people, when they read a scripture like we were all chosen in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame, well, the people who simply believe that little portion of scripture believe they're the elect. And so we don't have anything to worry about. We're the elect. But what they don't realize is, and then another scripture says, whom God foreknew, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. So those who hold on to that little predestination doctrine say, well, God foreknew me, he foreknew me, so that means, you know, I'm okay. But the rest of the world's gone to hell in a handbasket. But then you have to ask the question, who didn't he foreknow? And when you understand there's nobody he didn't foreknow, then you understand that those who he foreknew, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. That is your destiny. So all of us are secure. If you understand some simple things, you tell me, if you were chosen, I shouldn't use that word if, since you were chosen before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blame before and in love, how could that not be? And you have to realize that's not a future event. There isn't a person in this room or anywhere in the world at this present time who is not holy and without blame before him in love. Because that's all he sees. God told me many years ago when I was so desperately hungry to be conformed to his image. He said to me, Gary, I don't see you the way you are. I don't see your faults. I don't see your sin, so-called. He said, I only see one thing. He said, Gary, I look far past your mind, your emotion, and your will. And I'll tell you what, when you're sitting in his presence and he begins to talk to you like this, He said, I see the seed of my life that I planted within you. And that seed is holy. That seed is undefiled. That seed has everything within its being that I am. And Gary, that's what I look at. I have never, ever, for one time, ever looked at your failings or your discouragements or your passions or your lusts or your hang-ups. I have always held the image of my son from the inception of your being. I've never lost sight of who you are. And I will continue to minister to you. And I will continue to bless you. I will continue to love you. I will continue to magnify my essence and my being within you until one day you will rise up within this temple that you are, and you will behold the glory of your Lord that will come forth in the beauty of all of my essence. And then all of creation will come to you for the revealing of who I am in them. Don't you? You heard God say that to you just now. What have we been telling the world? Repent. Simply change your mind. There's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing that needs to be fixed. There's nothing you have to do. There's nothing you have to say. You just need to change your mind. I love to sit in the quiet like we did when we started out. And for so many people, especially you get church people together and you ask them to be quiet, it's very discomforting. And it's very uncomfortable for them. Especially if you're in an active church. But I discovered that's where God is. God is in the silence. And that's where you'll discover the reality of your being. Is in the quietness of your own being. And that's why you hear that phrase so much in these days. Be still and know that I am God. I remember Preston Eby said a few years ago, I believe it was in Alamo Gordo, New Mexico, the first time I ever met him. And that was about 1998. And at that time, there was a lot of preaching going on about processing, how we need to be processed into sons of God. And he said, some of you have been processed for years. And he said, some of you will continue to be processed. But will you ever come to the place where you can say, I am that I am? Because that's the only way that you'll ever discover the truth, is when you can stand and say, with all the reality within you, I am that I am. And in the quiet moments, you will hear, deep within the recesses of your own consciousness, you will hear that voice say, I am that I am. Which also means that I will be what I will be. What do you want to be? Because if you renew your mind through meditation and through the voice of God that will arise within you, you can be anything that you want to be. There's no limitations. There's no restrictions. And again, we came to this physical realm simply to enjoy life. That's a simple reason you're here. You came here not to fix anything. Because when you came here, you knew everybody on the earth was already a son of God. You didn't come here to fix them. You came here to help them understand who they are. That's why Jesus came here. We need to repent. We need to change our mind about the crucifixion and about the blood sacrifice. It's a real sacred thing. And it really is. But until our minds are changed about the purpose of Calvary and the blood sacrifice, until that concept in our mind is changed, we'll never understand God. It was always the angry gods, what we call pagan gods, who demanded a sacrifice, who demanded their children be sacrificed by fire. God, as we know him now, has never, ever required a sacrifice for anything. We've been told that God was so angry and upset with what Adam and Eve did, that the only way he could appease his anger, and the only way that we could ever regain his favor so that he could look upon us again, was that he had to have a spotless sacrifice. And he couldn't find one, so he gave his own son. And he literally had his own son sacrificed, brutally murdered, to appease his anger so that he could once again look upon humanity. And it's an absolute lie. Am I saying the sacrifice wasn't necessary? Not at all. Am I saying the cross wasn't necessary? Not at all. But we haven't understood the cross. You see, God didn't need a sacrifice, but you did. You see, man had become so fallen in his consciousness that he needed to be able to look at someone who was perfect and be able to look at someone who was nailed to a cross at such a sacrifice, to be able to identify with that person who would say, God loves you so much, and this is the truth, God loves you so much that he literally became a human, and he hung on the cross for you, and he died, not as a sacrifice, but as an offering to you, to show you that God loves you so much that he's not holding anything against you. And if you will look at me, if you will allow your eyes to behold me, you will see yourself. And I tell you that you yourself have been sacrificed on the cross of humanity. You have left the place of my presence to be sacrificed on the cross of humanity to become a savior to the world, so that they can look at you and realize that here is a person who is so wonderful. Here is a person who has the beauty and the essence of what I know God must be. And if he can do that, if I can see a people like that, then that means I can be like that. That's why Jesus came. He didn't come to appease God's anger. He came to reveal to us the love of his Father, and to reveal to us, here is a man, a real man, that all of us, deep inside, are. And that's why I said earlier, all the things that I sought for years are now becoming a part of who I am. So no longer do I have to search for anything. You know, I still read, I still listen to messages, but now it's a totally different concept. I never have to search for truth. Never. Any truth that I need. In fact, in 1 John chapter 2, and I believe it's verse 20, says, you have an anointing and you know all things. Where has that verse been for 2,000 years? Because I was told as a Christian, you don't know anything, you better listen to me. You better listen to the preacher. When I began to have some revelations and some understandings from God, I was told, you better listen to the preacher, because you can't trust your own anointings. You, or they didn't say anointing, they said, you can't trust your own feelings. And I was taught that never go by feelings, you have to go by faith. And I'm telling you, you have to change your mind about that concept, because the only way you'll ever find God in truth is to go by your feelings. Because your emotions, your feelings, is what will guide you and direct you into the truth. Now, I'm not saying that every feeling you got is God. But, you know, we learn to discern that within us, everything that God is, and I believe that's why the Bible or the scriptures uses the term a seed. But everything within us is already there. And in most of creation is still lying dormant. But you know what a seed needs? It doesn't need to be taught. And that's what the Christians have done to us for years. They've tried to teach a seed how to grow. It'd be like planting an ear of corn, or planting a seed of corn in the ground, and getting out the books and trying to teach that seed. Well, you know, you have to break forth here, and you have to... No, you don't need that. You need the sun. You need the sun to shine on the seed. You need the dirt, the ground for the seed to be planted in. The sun produces the heat, the tribulation, the circumstances to put the pressure on the seed, to break the shell of the seed, to break the shell of the outer man, so that the life in the seed begins to burst forth from the seed. We have never needed to be taught. You've never needed to be taught. You need to be loved. You need to be nourished. You need to have the fellowship. And that's what causes the seed to grow. Our experiences that we have are not something we teach. It's something we share. And as we share what we experience, someone says, wow, that's the way I felt for years, but I never heard anybody else explain it that way. That is the one thing I hear more than anything in, for years, is that when you speak, there's something in me that says, finally, I've heard someone say what I believed for years. I've believed it, but yet my mind has told me for years all of the religious stuff. And I've been told that all of these thoughts are, you know, angels of light and seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Religion has told us for years that in the last days, these big deceivers will come teaching doctrines of devils. And we're still waiting for the last days. And those, in fact, most of religion today tells you that you're in those last days, and all these devils of deception are coming out of men like Des Walter and Gary Sigler, because it says in the last days the deceivers will come. And what people don't realize is, because they do not know their heritage, they do not know even their Christian history, and if they did, they would understand that when Jesus taught about what they call the Great Tribulation, where one stone would not be left upon another, happened in AD 70 when Titus brought his armies and surrounded Jerusalem and destroyed the temple and destroyed Jerusalem and destroyed everything. There was not one stone left upon another. That was the tribulation that Jesus talked about. In fact, he said, this generation will not pass away until all these things be fulfilled. And religion is still telling us it's to come. And we're in the last days, because look at these guys like Sigler and Walter that are telling these stories of heresy. I'll tell you, folks, we have to repent. We have to change our mind. We have to realize that the deceivers of the brethren started about 2,000 years ago. All of those doctrines of devils that we were warned about began right after, or even during the apostles, even before all the apostles. The first apostles passed off the scene. Those doctrines, demonic things, were already being infiltrated into the church. And that's why the men like Peter and Paul and those men passed off the scene because those doctrines of devils and those doctrines that came in and told people, I'm going to say something that's going to cause a lot of problems for some people. It wasn't the people like the Gnostics that ruined and is still ruining Christianity. It's the doctrines of the church that ruined Christianity. A lot of people don't realize that the Catholic Church ruled the then known world for 1,000 years. And everyone that did not line up with what the Catholics taught, they were put in baskets and burnt. They were drowned. They were cut asunder. For 1,000 years, the Catholic Church dominated and ruled the minds of men. And we have not realized that all of the church doctrines that we know and have been taught came out of that dark understanding of God and even crept into our scriptures. So you can see why we need to repent. We need to change our mind. There's absolutely nothing wrong with any of us, except we've been taught to think wrong. Jesus said, what is it, Mark 11:23? The day before, I think it was, he had just cursed a fig tree and it died up. I know you all know this. And the disciples said to him, how can that be? I mean, this man, he cursed a fig tree, and the next day it just dried up and died. And that's when he said to him, Kenneth Hagin's famous quote, whatever you can believe, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe what he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And that's why I can say to you, whatever you want to be, to do, or to have can be yours, if you understand the secret. And the secret is simply believing in your own true identity as a manifestation of God on this earth. And you can have, you can be anything that you want to be or to have on this earth. And the only qualifying thing, and see, this is where I lost out for years. Now, I said last night, which is true, that Carol and I had lived by this principle for years, but not really had such a clarity as is coming to us through this movie, this book on the secret. It brought such a clarity and a clearer understanding on how to operate in this realm of the kingdom. And because my problem for years wasn't that I didn't believe God, but I was always doubting. If I'd have an issue like I had with my foot, I knew God could heal that. And as soon as I'd asked God to heal it, I knew he could, but then all of the stuff would start coming into mind about, your chances aren't real good, and, hardly anybody ever walks in this, And I said, and this, I'm telling you, this is just 2 months ago at the most. I said, God, how do I deal with this? Because I know if I doubt, I can't have it. Because you said, whatever I believe and I don't doubt in my heart, I can have it. But what do I do with it? Because how can I not doubt? And the simplest explanation came to me. He said, when you're asking for something, and a thought comes to your mind that's negative to what you're asking for, that's not doubt, that's a thought. And he said, if you'll remember, I said, if you do not doubt in your heart. He said, when you ask for something and that thought comes, it's not doubt until you contemplate it, nurture it, and it gets in your heart and causes unbelief. That will change your, that one thing will change your life. That's why I'm not in that cast today. Doubt is not a thought that comes to you. Doubt is the thought comes to you and you receive the thought and you fall prey to the thought. It enters into your heart and it causes you to sink within yourself and feel like you miss God again. You never again in your life ever have to doubt God if you won't entertain the thought. And I'm not here to tell you that you're going to have success in this 100%. But it will begin to change your life drastically. See, the most magnificent things of God are so simple. But religion has veiled them from our eyes. And that's why I can sit here and I can be so grateful that I can hear the voice of God. Because when he said, doubt or a thought is not a doubt. Oh, what a relief. And see, we are not our thoughts. We can tune in to God. You know, frequency and vibration is a magnificent spiritual understanding. And even in the natural things will teach you deep spiritual truths. Do you know all of the frequencies right now that are flying through the airwaves? And if you want a certain frequency, you have to have an instrument that will tune into that frequency. For instance, we can turn on the radio and pick up a multitude of different frequencies that are in the air and listen and pull out of the air the frequencies that we want to listen to. And if you don't like what you're listening to, you simply change frequencies. This is modern technology. I could sit here in this living room if George had a wireless internet connection. I can sit right here with my laptop on my lap, not even plugged into the wall. And I can write a letter to my wife. Now think of this. My computer's not even plugged into the wall. I can write a letter to my wife right here on my lap on my computer and have it print on her computer at home or on her printer at home. There's no computer plugged into anything. And the letter that I type flies through the airwaves invisible, somehow finds her printer at home and prints out the letter that I just wrote to her. And then we doubt what God can do for us. I'm telling you, there is a vibration. There is a frequency within you. And when you tune in, and don't ask me how to do that. I can't tell you. Most of you have all done it. But see, there's a place where we can daily, moment by moment, we can keep our spirit tuned into that frequency that will bring to us all of the information, all of the revelation, all of the day-to-day issues, because there is anointing within you, and you know all things. If we can do that in the natural, why can't we do it? Think of what we can do in the spirit of this thing.
That's the wireless shirt.
It is the wireless shirt. It sure is.
You're all afraid.
These are some things, I'll tell you, it is such, you'll never know what a joy and a thrill it is to me to be able to share this. I don't think I've ever, in my life in a meeting, mentioned frequency and vibration. But it's two things, you know, the scientists of today and the quantum physicists of today are making religion, exposing the falsities of religious teaching. The quantum physicists of today are telling us that all things came out of one source. Think of that. It's not the preachers of our day and the priests of our day and the religious leaders of our day that are bringing to us spiritual truth. It's quantum physicists and scientists. And that's why I say, you see, when you're looking for truth, now if you're religious, you won't accept what a quantum physicist says. You can't watch a movie like The Secret or read a book like The Secret or What the Bleep. You say, well, there's another falsehood. There's another lie coming from the pit of hell. There's another angel of light trying to deceive the people of God. Here's something trying to pull them away from Jesus. You need to change your mind about the way you think. Amen. That's enough. This concludes this message. For additional tape copies or for more information, you may write Sigler Ministries, that's S like Sam, IGLER, P.O. Box 26695, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, 27114. Or you may telephone us at area code 336-775-4930. Our web address is www.sigler.org. Our email address is orders@sigler.org. All of our tapes are distributed at no charge as finances permit. These messages may not be sold, but you may duplicate them freely for distribution. Many have asked us where to obtain the beautiful music at the end of our tapes. You may write Linda Musgrove, that's M-U-S-G-R-O-V-E, P.O. Box 111, Cunningham, Texas 75434 for information concerning her music. Back your true identity.